As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is? I just want a picture of a goddang hot dog. Hot, hot dog. Hot, hot dog. I know what a JPEG is. I just want a picture of a goddang hot dog.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is? I just want a picture of a goddang hot dog.
Do I look like I know what a JPEG is? I just want a picture of a goddang hot dog.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Thursday, April 1st. When in doubt, make a fool of yourself. I'm J.E. Skeets, rolling this morning with my top shot hot boy, rocking his Manny Ramirez. It's Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o!
Opening day!
Yes!
Popcorn, peanuts, strawberry slushies.
We got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Lee, how you feeling, mate? Got your second dose yesterday.
Yeah, not too bad overall. Didn't have a great sleep last night, so a little groggy this morning, but I'm not sure if that was just a bad sleep or if it was down to the vaccine, but I'm feeling okay, thanks.
Can we get a shot for your Wi-Fi connection? Holy shit, mate. Stop putting so much money into your coffee and boost your signal a little bit. It's getting worse and worse. Anyway, shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Like, comment, and subscribe. Is Lee frozen or is he just not moving? Oh boy.
Well, I don't know about getting this second shot. Now the man's freezing at every opportunity.
Oh my god. Anyway, if Lee's Wi-Fi connection will work.
And bars here from Brad Beetson. Big groggy sluggy.
Yeah.
He's struggling right now.
Yes.
Come on back, mate.
For all of you listeners, Lee is frozen here on the stream team. If we can get his Wi-Fi connection working, we are going to have a new happy hour later tonight. We're going to fire up the live stream at halftime of the Hornets-Nets game on TNT. Lee said his buddy, who's a pilot, is going to join us to talk about flying planes. So, you know, hopefully we can make that a reality. There he is. You're back.
He's back.
Hi.
Hi. Hello to you.
You are on a hell of a delay right now. Email us your questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. We hit the beach yesterday. That was unfortunately without Lele, but we had a blast. You guys sent in some great questions. So keep them coming. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com or tweet them in at NoDunksInc or drop them in the YouTube comments. And finally, immaculate items always available for sale over at NoDunks.com. Lee, you with us? Are you there?
I'm here. I don't know if you can hear me or not. I'm not sure what's going on today. But yeah.
Well, let's just power through it. I mean, if you're a listener to the podcast, JD cleans this bad boy up. You won't even know there's an issue going on here with the live stream. But Bunch of games on last night, guys. We obviously won't get to them all, but I had some questions for you. And the first one involves Andre Drummond, who actually exited Wednesday's game, loss, I should say, to the Bucks in his Lakers debut. Bruised right big toe there in the third quarter. Oh, yeah, look at all the band-aids he's got on there. So he didn't return. Now, the x-rays on AD2's toe came back negative. So that's good news for the Lakers. But Trey, sort of a tough question because he didn't play a ton, but I guess how would you grade Andre Drummond's Lakers debut?
Well, unfortunately, Skeets, I got to give him a D for disappointing. Didn't do a whole bunch out there. 4 points, one rebound, a couple of assists, and a block. 2 of 6 shooting from Drummond. The makes, he shot a floater, and he had a layup off of a roll. To me, he just looked super rusty out there. Looked like he hadn't played basketball for a month and a half. You could tell. The block was nice. He took a charge on Giannis. I think those are both things that could certainly bring value to the Lakers later on down the line. Being a big guy, protecting the rim. It didn't look to me, though, like offensively Drummond had a ton of explosion, rolling to the hoop, trying to drive down on the baseline. He got the ball at the free throw line at the high post a little bit. That's going to help the Lakers, I think, while LeBron and Anthony Davis are out, but not going to be a big part of the game for Drummond there in LA. I was trying to show it off last night. Obviously, the Lakers want to see what he can do, but I'm also giving him a D for that damaged digit. Like you said, left in the third quarter with the toe injury, which was also disappointing because it meant his highlight collection was quite disappointing on the night. You've got the clip of his first points as a Laker, and then instantly a close-up of him messing around with his own toes. I don't mind toes. Personally, I'm not one of those people that's grossed out by them. A lot of people are, but not a great collection for your first night in a new uniform. You add in the fact that the Lakers lost, and do the math. You got a loss. You got first game back kind of numbers and an injury on a team that's already banged up. That's a D for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, what do you grade this, Lely? Drummond's debut there. Brook Lopez stepped on his toe there, and he lost it, he said. Straight up gone. I've had many a big toenails ripped off my feet from either playing basketball or from straight up running. I've lost both of my big toenails maybe 3 or 4 times. It's something insane.
You gotta size up, my man.
It does hurt. It does hurt. It's painful. It's definitely uncomfortable. You can play through it. We'll see if he plays in the next game. I mean, you can wrap it up and sort of tough it out. But what do you think of Drummond's debut?
Well, I'll give him an incomplete simply because of that. He couldn't get through the game. I thought while he was out there, he looked about like a guy who hasn't played in well over a month should look, you know, trying to sort of figure out a system and going to a team that really is not playing very well. They're missing their two stars also. So it's very difficult for him to go in there and make an immediate impact. I think it's more about just getting some conditioning, understanding the way they play, and also going up against a very good team makes it difficult for him. So I didn't really expect the Lakers to win this game anyway. It was more just to sort of see if they could get him out there for extended minutes, but they weren't able to do that either. So hopefully he doesn't miss any time, because when you haven't played for so long and then you do finally get back to a team, you need those reps. You need to be out on the court to really show what you can do. So we'll see if he's back soon. I'm not sure what a toenail missing injury timeline usually is. As you mentioned there, maybe it's painful, but it's not so painful that you can't play. I'm sure he's dying to get back out on the court and have an impact and just play again. So I just think, watching that game back as well, I was like, it wasn't a great game. It wasn't a fun game to watch there either. So I think we just need to give him at least sort of 5 to 10 games before we can have a fair grade for him to see if he can be an impactful player, because he should be. He should be a dominant player at both ends of the floor for them, or certainly an impactful player, you know, rebounding the ball, blocking shots, and then getting some easy baskets for them. And that will certainly help the Lakers. I think they need it. I think at the center position, they are a little thin again right now because Anthony Davis is out. Obviously, when he comes back, that changes things. But Marc Gasol is not really the answer for them. So they need someone.
Well, Marc Gasol, that was going to be my question. He was like not even going to be playing in this game by the looks of it until the Drummond injury. And then he got a couple of minutes there. And I was a little shocked by that. Were you at all that? I mean, maybe that's just Vogel saying, look, we got a new guy here. Maybe he went to Marc Gasol before the game, so we got to get him as many reps as possible. You may not see any action tonight, something like that. Maybe that was a conversation they had. But I thought Marc Gasol actually, when he came in, looked somewhat okay. I know it was tough to say and a bit of a blowout there, but a little surprised that he might be completely buried. From the first game, at least, with Vogel's lineups.
Yeah, Marc Gasol has struggled this season, and he's older. Sure. So, you know, part of the reason the Lakers want to bring in Drummond, I think, is to save Anthony Davis's body from playing the center position the entire time when Davis is healthy again, and to save Marc Gasol's body so that he can be the healthiest he is and playing the best he has this season come postseason time, because they're going to need Drummond and Gasol. There's just big guys that the Lakers are going to have to match up with, and they're going to have a couple of different options. Like, I'm confident that Marc Gasol will have some good games in the playoffs, even though he hasn't had a great season so far. The guy's going to, you know, hit a couple of threes in a third quarter, have a couple of assists in a fourth quarter, and he's just going to swing the tide a little bit here. So, yeah, I can understand Vogel's point of view here, saying we want to get Drummond involved. We want to see everything he can do on the court as much as we can. And Marc Gasol, just rest up a little here. We're going to need you healthy in a couple of months.
Lee, have you ever lost a big toenail?
No, I haven't lost a toenail, thankfully.
Oh, wow.
I've seen yours, though, when you have lost them, and I don't envy you at all. I don't.
No, it's not fun.
No, no, no. I guess, though, it's like, you know, because you've lost them both several times, once you lose one, you just become more likely to lose them again. Is that right? I mean,
yeah, I think that sort of tends to happen. Trey's not wrong. I like a tight shoe when I hoop, and there's a lot of quick stops and goes, and yeah, you're getting stepped on sometimes. Sometimes it's not even your doing. Like, you know, big old Lee Ellis's big 13s there probably stepped on my toe on the final time. But it does suck. But yeah, you get a little more used to it as it goes on. Then it becomes like, oddly cool to rip off your big toenail. It's weird, but it's.
I can see the enjoyment from it, but I don't know if cool is the right word. There was a good question from Belinda in the stream team. She said, when your toenail gets ripped off like that, when it gets hurt like that, bruised, whatever, does it hurt? Obviously, it hurts when it happens.
Yeah.
But does it continue to hurt until that nail is grown all the way back?
No,
or does that
does your toe
kind of toughen up?
It's like almost like a callus in a weird way, I think, is what sort of happens there with the skin. So, yeah, no, it's painful at first, especially, yeah, like the initial being stepped on or something. Yeah, and it's jammed in. You're probably bleeding and stuff like that. But, no, he'll be playing. I'd be shocked if he's not playing in the next game. And I'll say, for like an NBA player, his feet weren't that bad looking. Right? Like that close up, usually these guys have the gnarliest feet. And this is coming from someone
gnarly feet.
I've got gnarly ass feet. I mean, I've done a number on these things. And usually NBA players, like, remember Shaq's foot? Like, that's one of the most disgusting foot I've
LeBron's
ever seen.
Foot was so gnarled, gross. People thought he had a sixth toe. You're right. You can tell Drummond hasn't played for a month and a half, just getting pampered.
Yeah.
Relaxing, kicking his feet up, maybe getting a pedicure here and there. They were looking good.
They looked fine. For an NBA player's feet, those were fine. All right. Our next question, Lee, you can start us off here. Go anywhere you want. Most impressive win from last night. Again, 10 games on. Where do you want to go?
Well, I'm seeing my internet lag here, so I have no idea if this is going to sound any good or not, but I'm going with the Dallas Mavericks victory over the Boston Celtics, because it was a Danny Ainge close out there from the Celtics. They almost won. Like, they almost make a trade, you know. They almost came back from down. But this was a performance. Luka Doncic was just incredible last night. I thought he was a masterful in control of that game. And the way that he played, it's funny, if you look at the box score, he was a -2. Now, that's one of those stats where you're like, how could he possibly be a -2? He was so good when he was out on the floor. And he controlled this game from start to end. And they built up a 23-point lead. The Celtics did come back, as I mentioned there, but the Mavericks closed it out. And Luka Doncic, I mean, he's just such an incredibly talented player. He hit 7 threes last night, and all 7 of them were pretty much gorgeous threes. He would just step into them, step back, knock them down, and he was fantastic last night. I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Mavs later in the show, because I'm still not quite sure what to make of them. But when you see a performance like that from last night, I think that the Mavericks are better than where they are in the standings right now, where they're 7th. I think they're a better team than that, because they have a guy who can just do incredible things, and you need to have one of those players. It's just after that, it falls off a little bit. But I guess it was one of those ends where you're like, oh yeah, the Celtics kind of got themselves back into it, but they didn't really do it because Doncic was out there and he was just incredible. So great win from the Mavericks.
Porzingis is playing a lot better for this team, too. I know Tass talked about it on What You Need to Know. I heard Dave DeFore talking about it on the Daily Ding. He looks a lot more healthy, and he's contributing, especially defensively, Lee. I don't know what you saw in that game. He's moving better, which obviously, if you get KP playing closer to his all-star level back in the day, then yeah, I'm with you. The Mavs would be a scary first-round opponent, I think, for any team. No matter where they are in the seedings, be it, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, wherever they fall. What did you think of KP last night?
I'll hop in. Yeah, Porzingis has really turned it on here, and he is the key to the Dallas Mavericks because Doncic is going to do what he does. Magnificent, like Lee said last night. But when Porzingis is able to give you something offensively and defensively, that is just such a boon to the Mavericks. They made 19 threes last night, and they're going to be tough to beat when they're shooting the ball that well. Porzingis, though, he's been pretty solid since basically February, he's at 20 points a game, almost 10 rebounds a game, basically 50% from the field, nearly 40% from three. That's exactly what the Mavericks need from Kristaps Porzingis. Sure, it'd be great if he could punish switches, if he were able to be a post-scoring guy, or even work his way to a Dirk Nowitzki fadeaway. He needs a little bit more booty, needs to hit the weight room, get those squats going to really punish smaller guys inside, but if he's playing his game, if he's shooting threes, if he is bringing it defensively, hitting the glass, that's so big for the Mavericks. And it's not a surprise that as he gets healthier and healthier as the season goes on, he's able to figure out his game a little bit more. The key will just making sure he stays healthy for the entirety of the rest of the season into the postseason. We know that the second half here is super jammed up for basically every team. And, you know, if you miss a week here and there, that's a lot of games. And it's a lot of time not playing with your team, not building that chemistry. But great stuff from Doncic, Porzingis, and all the Mavs last night.
Yeah, I think Lee is rebooting his computer. So hopefully he'll join us here in a second. And he wants to talk a little bit Mavs a little bit later. But Trey, most impressive win for you last night. Which team do you focus on?
All right. The Nets, one of the best teams in the league, beating the Rockets, one of the worst teams in the league.
It's like, who cares?
Shouldn't be the most impressive win from last night, but James Harden sat the fourth quarter of this one with some hamstring tightness, and I was quite impressed with the big three of Kyrie Irving, Joe Harris, and Blake Griffin. 28 points on the night for Joe Harris. He hit 7 threes, had a couple of daggers in this one. He is Klay Thompson light, man. He's happy to do his job. When everybody's healthy, he's a shooter, he's a defender, but when there's an opportunity like there was last night for him to kind of move up the pecking order, you can really see how hot he can get, how quickly he can fill up the box score, and what he's capable of as a second option, as a third option.
Yeah.
It's just the fact of the matter for the Nets, he's fourth or fifth sometimes in the pecking order, but he's a professional, and he's happy to do it, and then when it's his turn to shine, he really shines. As for Blake Griffin, come on, man. This is getting ridiculous. The Steve Nash rejuvenation machine, it still works. 11 points for Blake Griffin last night. All of them came in the second half. And to me, this was late vintage Blake Griffin. We're not talking early Clippers dunking on Mozgov era, but kind of similar to late Clippers first season with the Pistons era. We're talking acrobatic reverse layups out of the pick and roll. The guy hit a couple of threes. He hit his own dagger, assisted on one of the Joe Harris daggers. The Nets were using Blake as a playmaker out of the high post. 4 assists on the night. And yeah, you guessed it. Another dunk for Blake Griffin. This time, a tip dunk. It's his 4th dunk in 5 games with the Nets. One fewer than he had with the Pistons during the 1920 and 2021 season. The Nets won this one with a massive fourth quarter run. And honestly, the big three was Kyrie, Blake Griffin, and Joe Harris. This team looks incredible right now. They're the favorites in the Eastern Conference. And I would nearly put them as favorites to win the championship right now.
Yeah, first time the Nets have had sole possession of first place in their conference since 2003. Taking it way back. They're looking solid. And what's the other stat? They've had their big three in 7 games total together.
7 games, I think, yeah.
That's pretty impressive that they have all these W's, really, despite their obviously their best trifecta, they're playing together. You know, does that end up hurting them in a weird way because they just don't have enough reps? Probably not, because they're that talented. Yeah, I guess it could. I mean, that's what we'll say, maybe, if they lose
in a series.
But right now, they just continue to rack up the victories. And you're right, without Harden, I mean, that was... Look, there was one where Kyrie drove in felt like he like hung in the air for like 3 seconds, changed his mind a couple times what he was going to do, and then kicked it out to Joe Harris for one of those threes late in their comeback. God, it was so, so special looking. And I don't know, when they wear those crazy tie-dye jerseys too, it makes it even cooler or weirder. I don't know. It's a cool look for that squad. So that was a big one. Yeah, despite playing the Rockets, who were in control of the game. You're right. It looked like they were going to pull off the victory there for a little bit. And then, Nets said no. That's
but
a good
I mean,
one.
Just look how good this team is. I know. Finally, so the Nets have two MVP candidates out. Kevin Durant was in the mix before he went out with his injury this year. James Harden has maybe been the best player in the league since the trade. Both those guys out, so Kyrie Irving just goes for 31 points and 12 assists. Like, that's ridiculous. And then they're getting these contributions from the role players in Blake and Joe Harris. Nick Claxton has still been good. This team is, I mean, you don't want to peak in April, but I don't really see them falling off. The offense looks like it gets better and better, even as more and more guys go out with injuries.
And as we've talked about, Kyrie treats his NBA gig like we treat our own jobs. So he'll probably like ask for tomorrow off. He wants to go to the cottage for the long weekend. I'll just take some time here, and everybody will be like, yeah, it's okay. We'll keep getting the victories. It's okay. My most impressive win, I'm going to go to two teams just to slip them here. One, the Utah Jazz defeated the Grizzlies last night, 111-107. So they keep their winning streak going. But impressive for a couple reasons. This one had schedule loss like written all over this damn thing, right? Because first off, beating any NBA team three times in a row is difficult. They've played the Grizzlies three times in the last 6 days and beat them all three times. That's tough. And the Grizzlies are a decent team.
Pretty weird.
Also, they did this. Beating any team without your leading scorer is difficult. No Donovan Mitchell. He did not travel with them in the end. And then beating any team after you had a somewhat scary plane incident the day before, and it screwed up all your travel plans, and then you were flying later and all that. You know, again, that's sort of a schedule loss there. That can't be easy. And they got it done. Big part of it was Mike Conley, 13 of his 26 in the fourth quarter, just attacking, attacking, attacking. Clarkson did his thing. Boyan did his thing. Those guys chipped in 24 and 23 points, respectively. Gobert was great again. So this was just a really good win. This is John Morant having a monster game, too. And, like, you know, Trey, like, anytime you beat a team that many times in the span of 1 week, especially a team, again, like the Grizzlies that are like, you know, turned a corner a little bit, obviously want to get into the play-in tournament. Damn, you're good. That's a really, really good victory in my mind. I don't think that one should be overlooked despite, you know, the Jazz having the best record in the league and all that. That, again, is a weird one there with all that stuff that had happened with the play-in, no Donovan, and playing the same opponent over and over again, and they still got it done. It was the Conley show late.
It was the Conley show, and it was the three-point show once again for the Utah Jazz. They hit 15 threes. I think my math is right here. They've done that 38 times so far this season. Impressive to begin with. And I think they're 32-6. I might be reading this wrong. Nonetheless, the Jazz are shooting threes incredibly well, and they did it again last night. Impressive stuff from the Jazz. And if you are the Grizzlies, you just got to be completely discouraged because there's a very real scenario where they make it into the play-in tournament, they win their play-in games, they get the eighth seed, and then they got to play the Jazz in the first round of the playoffs. Like, it'll be awesome for the Grizzlies to make the playoffs, especially the way things went down last season, barely missing out. But yeah, to come in to really bust your balls to get into the playoffs, and then they have to face a team like the Jazz, who are one of the best defensive teams in the league and are pairing it with an incandescent offense this season, that's a tough draw right there.
Yeah, JD, come on here for a second. Well, is Lee making a coffee? Like, where the hell is he? How long does it take to reboot a computer?
Well, I think he's rebooting his internet.
Oh, look at that. Speak of the devil. Look at that.
He's back!
I'm happy you're back, Lee, and I hope it's working, because I wanted to tell you that Joe Ingles passed Andre Kirilenko for fifth on the Jazz's career assist list last night.
Joe's just racking up record after record in Utah these days. He's their all-time leader in three-pointers made, and he's got about 34,000 points to catch Karl Malone for their all-time leading scorer. So I think he's going to do that at the end, yeah.
Lee, you're coming in crystal clear. Oh, great crystal video image. I don't know. So you made a coffee, you fired up your green egg, you had a pizza. And what'd you do? Just reboot the internet?
I changed my internet service before. That didn't seem to work. So I just went for the old turn her on and turn her off and turn her back on. And that seems
smooth
to work. So, but anyway, enjoy it while it's here. I have no idea if it's going to last.
Okay. Well, the other game I wanted to talk about just briefly.
Hold on, Skeets. I just did the math again. It's actually 33 times for the Jazz making 15 threes. They're 27 and sticks. Still impressive.
Oh, Jesus. A great record. Yeah. They hit the threes that are a tough out, especially with that defense with Gobert in the back line there. The other game I wanted to briefly touch on, the Wolves versus the Knicks. 102-101. The Wolves got it done. But we got to show a little love to Wolves rookie Anthony Edwards. He scored 12 of his 24 in the fourth, really in the final 8 minutes, to bring the Wolves back. This is a tough loss for the Knicks. Malik Beasley hit the go-ahead three with about 35 seconds to go there on the wing. Set up by Anthony Edwards, like, you know, driving in there, kicked it out. This is a special takeover here for a 19-year-old kid. He averaged 24.2 points per game in the month of March, which is the third most in a calendar month by a teenager in NBA history, with a minimum 10 games. Trailing, Lee, I'll put you on the spot. Trailing who?
LeBron.
Correct. Yeah. And?
Nice.
Kobe.
Ooh, no. Good try. Carmelo.
Yeah.
But what was Anthony Edwards shooting from three-point range for the month of March? Just a little bit of a joke back at Nate Duncan from earlier this season.
Oh, yes. Well, he has played really impressively. Yeah. This got so ugly, like hilarious, like Shaqt and a Fool, like ugly with the teams, like turnover after turnover after turnover. Like, they were trying to give away the game to each other, but Beasley, to get the Wolves back into it and to give them the lead, was awesome. And I thought this was a telling quote from Michael, from Malik Beasley, excuse me, Michael Beasley. he said, I just sit in the corner and let Edwards drive. He wasn't really in the corner, so that was a little weird, but his confidence is ridiculous. This is, again, Beasley talking about Ant. I trust him more than anyone on the team to get the ball and get the bucket for us and make the right play. Again, a 19-year-old rookie, a lot of truth to that. I saw at T-Wolves blog tweeting, historically, I can think of only two other former Wolves who could single-handedly will the team, to a win. And Edwards, he thinks, T-Wolves blog, might full well be the third, and soon, because you don't see this type of sort of takeover mentality from this franchise often, guys. Mm-hmm. I was intrigued by who he was speaking of. I assumed Kevin Garnett, and I thought the other one was probably Jimmy Butler, who was obviously willing that team to the playoffs and a lot of victories. That's who it was. You know, there were people saying, well, what about Marbury? Or like Sam Love. Cassell there for a moment. And yeah, Kevin Love had his moment. But he was saying consistently, Edwards is like already starting to get there a little bit here in the month of March, of course, and that KG and Jimmy were two guys in franchise history that could actually will a team to victory. I agree with it 100%. And this is great stuff from the Wolves as that number one pick who started slowly and has turned it on, Lee.
Oh, absolutely. I'm happy for Anthony Edwards and I'm happy for the Timberwolves because this was the draft where you really didn't want to have the number one pick in some ways because it wasn't a clear-cut decision. And some people were like, well, LaMelo Ball is the best prospect, but then you just traded for D'Angelo Russell. So, you know, do you really need LaMelo Ball there? Instead, they take a, you know, somewhat a bit of a flyer as well just because of what happened last year. We didn't have the tournament. We didn't see a lot of games. And this guy also had the reputation for not even being a big basketball fan. So it was almost like, man, the Wolves just can't catch a break. But he's shown. He's got himself ready. He's got a good body. He's almost ready for the NBA in that sense. Like, he's got a big, mature body. He's athletic. He can hit the three. He's confident. And there's fine.
He drives. He attacks.
Yeah,
man.
He does.
That's what
he
I
does.
Love.
I mean, there's a big difference between, you know, playing well and then turning those into victories. But at least the Wolves can't sort of look back at this draft now and go, we should have taken Wiseman. We should have taken LaMelo. They've made the right decision here with Anthony Edwards, and it's paying off. So that's something that's very, very important in Minnesota, just to have some hope again. Because honestly, coming into this season, I remember talking about it on the preview shows. I was like, I just don't see any change on that team, even though they brought in a couple of vets and things like that. But now in Anthony Edwards, I think he can be a keeper for them.
They still do have the fewest wins in the league, Lee. Yep. I mean, you know, Anthony Edwards has been playing incredible. They've given him more responsibility, and that has helped Anthony Edwards. They got a win last night, but they still have the fewest wins in the league. Are they going to turn the team over to Anthony Edwards in not too long? I mean, Karl Anthony Towns has had an incredibly tough year. This feels like just a gap year for him, but the timelines for them, they're close. I don't know if they're exactly accurate, and Karl Anthony Towns is a guy who would fetch a huge haul in a trade return. I would love to see these guys get a chance to play alongside each other for a little bit here, because what Edwards is doing is a little bit different than I think what people are expecting coming into the league, because the concern was always that he settled for jumpers and wouldn't drive inside, but that has not been the case. There's so much more space in the NBA, especially playing with a stretchy big man like Karl Anthony Towns, that it's almost easier for Edwards to get inside in the NBA than it was in college. You see that a lot with teams, you know, where they just, a college team will just park a couple of big guys in the lane because that's what you do when you're in college. You got to play your tallest guys sometimes, but it makes it harder for the guards to drive. But he seems to have figured it out already here, two-thirds of the way through his rookie season.
Yeah, he's got the strength. He's got the speed, of course, to turn a corner, but then he can take that first initial contact and sort of drive through it. And that was the thing, like this comeback when he was hitting all these shots to get him back in, they weren't like the Devin Booker variety, like, yeah, turn around, you know, mid-range. Like, he had an awesome game, by the way, D-Book. But like, they weren't that. They were like attacking. He had one that was like a tip-in, like super late. Then these ones where he was setting up guys. Like, it was an all-around, like you're right, like a bit of a takeover here. And I'm with you, Trey. I hear what you're saying about Cap, but yeah. Let them at least play out, of course, this season. That's bound to happen. He's not being traded now after the deadline. But, like, I want to see them sort of a fresh start. If, like, this is the 1-2 punch with Kat and Ant, let's give it a go at the very least because, as we've sort of talked about a million times, it was a lost season. It was just an unfortunate season for Karl Anthony Towns, probably mentally. And then, of course, it turned into physically with COVID and all that. So I would like to see them just have a chance as a 1-2 punch. Maybe it works, maybe it doesn't, but let's give it a go at the very least. All right, we got to keep moving here. Jeez. Next question. Best highlight from last night. Let's do this quickly. Lee, what's your favorite best highlight from, again, a ton to pick from?
Well, I'm going with a collection of highlights because it's from Ja Morant out in Memphis. He never seems to score the same basket twice. You know, like for me, one of my favorite players is Bradley Beal, and his shooting mechanics and how he gets every jumper looking so beautiful is what I like about him. But Ja Morant never shoots the same shot, certainly twice in a row. And he likes to increase the difficulty on each time. And that happened last night. So I've got three that I'm going to throw at you guys. I hope you saw them. I'm not sure if you did. But he had a fast break early. I think it was in the third quarter where he seemed to jump a little too early and off the wrong foot. But he finished just beautifully with his left hand. That was gorgeous. Then later in the game, he kind of jumped into Rudy Gobert, and rather than release it straight away, going up against one of the best shot blockers in the game, he kind of hung on to the ball for a little bit, almost giving Rudy a chance to get back into it. And then he kind of like rainbowed it over Rudy's head. It went in off the backboard. That was incredible. He had a gorgeous left-hand pass to Xavier Tillman as well, where he just wrapped it around. Might see that one later in the week too somewhere. That's what we call a tease in the biz.
Sounds kind of sexy, mate. It sounds a little sexy to me. You're talking about the best highlight?
But it was a layup, so it might just sneak in. We'll see. But and then earlier in the game, oh my God, Joe Ingles. He crossed Joe Ingles up twice on one play, and Joe looked like just that guy in the Y who hasn't played for a while. You know, he kind of stumbled around, he tried to get back into it, and then Morant just went in and just floated the ball up beautifully. He just continues to be must watch. It sort of feels like we've almost been a bit spoilt from him, that we aren't maybe appreciating them as much as we did last season when he was, you know, sort of burst onto the scene. But man, I mean, that was a fun game actually last night. The Grizzlies kind of were hung around in that one. Jazz pulled it out in the end. It was a couple of plays that if they'd just gone the other way, maybe the Grizzlies can steal it. But yeah, Ja Morant just continues. Like, you're watching him and it's like, man, I got to put this one up. I got to put this one up. I got to put this one up. But
yeah, you were blasting clips left and right. Ja dime, Ja beauty. Yeah, I saw you doing that. I love it. Those are good. He is on the... If you can only make a list of like five guys you'd pay a lot of money to go see live, he'd be on my list. I would want to see it in person because he's just so much fun. Trey, highlight from the night last night.
Well, Lee, you talk about a pickup sort of run, and that's what I loved from CJ McCollum last night. CJ McCollum, shocker, is not a big shot blocker. He had 10 on the season coming into last night, but don't tell that to Corey Joseph. CJ swatted a CJ jumper, then hit him with the Mutombo finger wave. I love it. That is a very pickup basketball move to talk trash about something you don't actually do a lot of the time. Got credit for another block a little bit later. It was more of a low strip on Damian Lee, but Blazers got another win. Three straight since Nurkic came back. They did a pretty solid job with him out of the lineup. 19-13, but they're a lot better with him back. 10-5. Playoffs going to be about matchups as always, but if the Blazers get a good draw, if they stay healthy, which is always a question with Portland, it seems, they've got the superstar, they've got the second star, they've got some depth, and they got some continuity, they're going to be dangerous come postseason time.
That block, I mean, it's on Corey Joseph. If CJ's blocking a big guy, you can understand why the finger wag comes out. If you're just blocking a guy who's smaller than you,
I mean, are you allowed to pull out the finger wag like that in the middle of the game? So it
didn't Dikembe Mutombo mostly block guys that were smaller than him?
Well, yes, but that was his trademark. I'm just saying with CJ, it's like early in the game, he's just doing that. Like, where's that sort of... like, why is he taunting Corey Joseph like that? It was a good play. Great play. Just unusual that he pulled it out then. Usually you would see a guy do something when it was a little bit more impactful, like maybe on the last play, a decisive play that he's like, no, 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 I got him, you know, for a guy who's not a shot blocker. But, yeah.
I think he was doing it honestly for the joke of it, and like,
yeah, it's called
said,
comedic
like,
timing.
Blocks,
you ever heard of it?
So he's like, "Yeah, well, I'll throw this up." Oh my god, great pull there, JD. Great work. My highlight of the night—you already talked about it a little bit, Lee. Before you went and made a pizza, Luka's deep step back three. Now you could say, "Well, which one?" Because he had a couple of them hitting seven, mostly of the step back variety. It really is like. It's. I think there was a chart going around, probably from Kirk Goldsberry, showing like the most step back threes over the last couple of years, and it's like Harden by a mile. Like it's hilarious how far out ahead he is. But then I think it's Luka, because this is like his go to move, and that there was one that he hit. It must have been like what was it, like 35 feet or something. It was so deep. The Celtics played it well. They're up on him, and it just didn't matter. He was feeling it and just splashed it. And that was like late in the game. It was sort of like. Sort of closed the door on a bit of the comeback there from the Celtics. So I'll go with those as my sort of best highlight from last night.
And Jeff Van Gundy, because Mike Breen gave it a really good bang on that one.
You got to give it a bang.
Yeah, and Jeff Van Gundy was like, give us a double bang on that. But you can't. I mean, if the double bang doesn't come out naturally, you can't then go back to it. So
No. But, that deserved one bang. It was perfectly banged. Okay. final question here, guys, for you. What playoff race intrigues you the most? Because obviously, you know, we're jockeying for position at the top of the conferences, for home court, for sixth seed, obviously, to avoid the play-in, to get into the play-in. Like, there's like, feels like there's a million to watch. But Lee, which one are you like most focused on right now?
Well, I'm sticking with the Mavericks, as I alluded to earlier, because I'm still not quite sure about them. I mean, are they closer to the play-in tournament than they are to sort of being certainly home court advantage in that first round? Luka's obviously a stud, no question about that. And he can do amazing things. He's the sort of player who can almost drag a team to a playoff victory by himself. He's that good. But he does also cover some of their problems, I think. Porzingis is clearly their second best player. And last season in the bubble, before he got injured in the playoffs, he was good. But that's what I keep coming back to with Porzingis is how durable is he, and can he continue to play at both ends effectively? Because they need him. They absolutely need him to be good on the defensive end and then fantastic on the offensive end. He was pretty good last night, and he's been good, you know, when he plays. But I'm still a little bit unsure about him in that sense. And then who's their next best player? Because, you know, Finney Smith, Hardaway Jr., Maxi Kleber, those guys are okay. But it's probably Jalen Brunson who's actually their most reliable third best player, and he's good, you know, comes off the bench. He was good closing out the game last night, but they just seem to me like a team that might just get bounced in the first round. Certainly if they finish eighth and they have to face the Utah Jazz. I mean, you know, the Mavericks are not a good home team. Does that matter as much this season? Maybe not, but no matter what, you know, it is just harder to win on the road in the playoffs. So to do that for more than one round is going to be tough for them. They've also got to try to catch the Nuggets and Blazers, who are like 3.5 games ahead of them, just to get sort of out of that play-in tournament. And I think for the Mavericks, you know, whoever they face, if they do make the play-in tournament, you know, maybe it's the Memphis Grizzlies, maybe it's the Warriors, Spurs, it could be one of those teams. That'll be tough for them as well. So I really want to see if Dallas can just get themselves into sixth at worst. Into the playoffs. So then they are in that first round no matter what, and they don't have to play an extra game or two just to qualify in there. So I think that nobody would sort of want to match up against them in that first round, just because they know that they're the team that I think is maybe the Blazers, I guess, more likely to cause an upset. But they could also just find themselves basically done from the play-in tournament. So they've got quite a margin to swing there between being potentially a team that could cause an upset in a round or two to maybe not even making the big dance.
Trey, what are you watching? Is it in the Western Conference, Eastern Conference? What do you got your eyes on?
Well, Skeets, you know I'm watching the 10th seed in the Eastern Conference. Maybe the only team more disappointing than the Bulls since the trade deadline is the Raptors. Couple of more ugly losses for the no-dunk squads last night. The Raptors lost to the Thunder. And the Thunder started Svi Mykhailiuk, Teo Maledon, Isaiah Roby, Moses Brown, and Kenrich Williams. A who's who of who?
Yeah.
The Bulls didn't have Zach LaVine, so they ended up starting a starting lineup where the smallest player was 6'7" Tomas Satoransky at point guard. Not a great matchup against the Suns team built completely around guards. 45 for Devin Booker, had a clutch bucket late on Patrick Williams. A lot of people in the stream team were saying, the pause block, what an incredible block. Yeah, that was a very cool block, but he also got roasted last night. Oh my goodness. I'm a big Pat Williams fan. I think he's going to be a great player. I don't think he's going to be Kawhi Leonard in the sense that he's locking down scoring guards. Seemed to be a bit more of a big wing to me, Patrick Williams. Maybe a 3-4 sort of tweener, but we got five straight losses now for the Bulls. They literally haven't won a game since I did the Bulls are back flop. Sorry, my fault. Four straight losses for the Raptors. As our friend Blake Murphy said, the vibes are so bad, even Fred VanVleet didn't have anything to say after this loss. I'm still tracking it, though. Bulls got a two-game lead for 10th right now. These two teams are on a crash course for next week's graveyard match on the Happy Hour. No surprise, this game is not going to be featured. It's going to be a league passer. We've got one Bulls guest tentatively lined up, but at this point I'm wondering if we might want to invite all the Bulls and Raptors fans we know to hop on the stream and pay their respects to these two storied franchises, because it has been a bad week and a half for Chicago and Toronto.
Yeah, it has. Whoever loses that game, it's over. We're definitely burying them. Yeah. Go ahead, Lee.
Oh, the Bulls are only three games clear of the Magic, too. Imagine if the Magic finish above the Bulls after this.
Good thing that pick's protected, baby.
That's a great point.
That was always my favorite part of that trade.
Wow. Yeah, rough. Okay, so there you go. There's some questions from last night. I know we didn't get to every single game. Didn't get to your team's victory. We apologize, but don't worry. Tass talked about them on What You Need to Know very quickly.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. You know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Okay, let's get to the up-down report.
Prepare your tubies. It's the up-down report.
All right, first one. JJ Redick made waves yesterday when he shared on his podcast about his displeasure with the Pelicans for trading him to the Mavs. We talked about it briefly on Beach Step In. We slipped it into the show. You weren't there, Lee, so we'll start with you on this one. But JJ revealed He asked for a trade before the start of the season and that David Griffin promised to oblige him if the situation didn't work out during the season. And then, quote, JJ here, obviously, Griff did not honor his word. Said a lot more about it. I encourage you to go listen to what he actually said, because I've seen people sort of spin it into headlines or, you know, tweets that actually don't represent sort of what JJ was getting at. You know, the main one I'm saying is, like, he demanded a trade to the Nets. No, he didn't. He absolutely did not. I don't. You didn't listen to the podcast, if that's what you're saying. But he did criticize Pelicans front office, you know, pretty openly on his own podcast. So, Lee, what do you think? Are you up or down on JJ criticizing Griff and the Pelicans FO?
I'm down on this one, JJ. Now, I didn't listen to it, but I did read about it. So I'm coming from that angle. And and I also saw on the jump as well, Richard Jefferson and Robert Horry talked about it, that, you know, JJ did say that he wanted to go and get a trade. That's fine. That's what several players do. They want to go to a situation where they can potentially win. Now, whether or not he demanded Nets, you're saying he didn't. So, okay, I'll take your word for it on that. But I think Jefferson actually had some good points. They're saying, you know, JJ, at this stage of your career, you're not in that sort of like, hey, I'm out of here. Send me to a good team, good situation. He's a good vet, you know, but he's just not that bigger name where he can start calling the shots where he wants to go and how he wants to get out of there. And Stan Van Gundy addressed this too before the game, saying, you know, we always hear about it. It's a business, you know, from the player's point of view and from the franchise point of view. And the franchise is well within its rights with a player of JJ's standard at his age to be like, we want to sort of see what we can get for him, see what the best value is. It doesn't really matter to us. So I think I'm surprised things didn't work out between he and Stan Van Gundy, because they have got a history together there in Orlando. And coming into the season, it sounded like JJ was actually happy to be playing there with Stan. Got off to a great start, had 23 points in his first game. And I thought this is a perfect match here for a veteran on a youngish team that he can come out there and give them scoring. But it didn't work out. So I think it's a little bit of sour grapes there from JJ, and ultimately, I just don't think he's got that sort of pull to be able to sort of take shots at the franchise on his way out the door.
TK, anything to add to what you were talking about this yesterday?
Not really. I do think this is kind of an up and a down, because if you're JJ Redick and he was told, we're going to find a place for you that is favorable for you, you can't blame him for being upset. If that's what he was told, apparently the Pelicans front office should have just told him, hopefully we can do that. You know, maybe that will be the case, but the guy's in a tough spot. He now ended up further away from his family, and he said he has been having problems even getting a chance to see his family this season. That's got to be an impossible situation to be in. But for the Pelicans, they're trying to do business, help their team. Like Lee is saying, like Richard Jefferson was saying, JJ Redick doesn't really have the juice right now to kind of pull this move. Hasn't been with the team long. He's near the end of his career. Couldn't he have taken a buyout, signed anywhere he wanted to? I think that's another option he could have gone, but it's kind of a reminder to me. This is a business. Teams are going to do what's the best for them, as they should. So players should do what's the best for them, as they should.
I thought what was telling, a quote from JJ. He said, quote, I don't think what happened with me is necessarily an isolated incident. Now, that opened my eyes a little bit, because that was him really, to me, going at Griff. That's not him sort of just complaining about what happened with him. He is saying, maybe I'm reading into it a little much, but like, no, they've done this before. Maybe like promises have been made and not kept. I don't know if he's saying in general in NBA front offices. Probably that's happened. Or is he saying it specifically about Griff and the Pelicans? I'm not really sure. But yeah, people were torn on that one. Go ahead, Lee.
It's down to interpretation of a conversation you had as well. I mean, maybe David Griffin, you know, he thought that JJ was like, I would love to go to a better team. And he's like, yeah, I mean, if we can find a deal, we'll send you there. Mm. But, you know, if we're not getting anything back, and then, you know, we're going to have to do what we can to get you to get our best return. Who knows? I mean, it's a conversation that happened months ago. And, you know, there's always everyone sort of got their own side of the story there. And that's what it sort of sounds like here.
Next one, Pelican star, sticking with the Pelicans, Zion Williamson and Slam have partnered on a brand new NFT release, which drops tomorrow. The collection features 12 NFTs, non-fungible tokens, designed to look like, I guess, sort of animated magazine covers. You're seeing a preview of them now on the stream team. So, Trey, up or down on the Zion times Slam NFT release?
Oh, sure. I'm up on these. I think they look cool. I was just recently on eBay looking at NBA Hoops did a series with Slam of these covers and some other covers that they've done throughout their long history. And I was eyeballing one of those. Now, suddenly, it's an NFT, a non-fungible token. I'm loving it. The 500 series, kind of accessible. They say it's first come, first serve. 0.2 ETH, though, Skeets.
Woo.
It's about $380 right now. Plus, you're paying a huge gas fee. You might be doubling up on that. The elevated versions, they're going to auction, and who knows what those go for. Zion's going to be one of the faces of the NBA for the foreseeable future. He's going to, which, you know, is going to coincide, obviously, with digital collectibles picking up steam. So, yeah, now that's an NFT. I don't know. Maybe I should dip out of the eBay game, get into the MetaMask game here, Skeetsy.
I mean, they look cool. Yeah. Except the basketball. That one's
the first ever digital basketball.
That one's brutal to me.
Not it's a big fan. My favorite's the future one. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Lee, what do you think? You know, you're not into the Top Shot Hot Boys world, but, you know, I see people in the comments. Also, Michael, not a fan of the NFTs, but where do you stand?
Oh, I'm fine with them. I mean, that looks cool. That's what you said. Like, they do look cool. It's maybe not be my thing, but it looks great. And that is the future. You know, that's where it's all going to be. Basically, though, they did rip off the font from Back to the Future, didn't they? I mean,
I think that's
what
unpurposely.
One of the greatest trilogies of all time. So maybe that's what they're trying to get the old heads like me in by just saying, let's sexy it up. Something he might like here, but. Yeah, it looks awesome. So, you can buy this, but we don't know how much for right now. Is that true?
Well, Trey said it's, what'd you say, 0.2?
The base level Ethereum is like 0.2.
Yeah.
But what ETH does that mean?
It's like, well, I mean, you know what Bitcoin is?
Yes.
You know Ethereum?
No.
Okay, well, anyway, it's like Bitcoin.
Right.
Okay. Where it's a cryptocurrency. And yeah, you could. There's ones that you can bid on, probably the ones with the autographs and stuff like that. And then there's like this base one that it's like, I think Trey said first come, first serve by the sounds of it. So there's going to be, not thousands of them, but like a decent amount where people can get. Yeah.
There's like 500 of the base future, 500 of the one that says Zion, and then 500 of each of those glorious basketballs.
I like Zion's signature. I'm a big fan of how he does his Z or Z for my Canadians out there.
I mean, the autograph version is going to be wicked.
Yeah.
Right, but then how do you actually purchase it, though? Like, do you bid for it?
Well, again, some of them you have to bid for. Yeah. Some you just can sort of outright buy if you're quick enough to the gun whenever this thing is released tomorrow. Yeah, right. And you're doing it, obviously, through the... I think it's on OpenSea is the marketplace for a lot of NFT art. Okay. Don't worry, that's where we're going to have the Lee Ellis No Dunks NFT. That's where, Lee, you're going to be able to go buy your own NFT.
Two animated thumbs popping up.
Okay.
You got a good signature, Lee? I can't remember your signature. That's a decent one.
Pretty simple. It's a pretty simple signature. Nothing too sexy, but, you know, it's mine, so it's fine.
All right. They're coming. Just you hold on. No Dunks NFTs. They're in the pipeline. Okay, final one here. I got to set this up. Toby and Bobby together again, guys. This time teaming up for a new commercial for Goldfish Crackers. It's a short commercial. Let's take a quick look.
Really?
They're goldfish. I always go for the handful. I got about 73 here.
I get more than 73.
Go for the handful.
There it is. 15 seconds of comedy gold. Bobby and Toby back together again. JD, I wanted to get your take on this first. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on this new commercial?
I'm thumbs down. Mm. Definitely thumbs down. Look, I am a bromantic. I enjoy a bromance. Mm-hmm. And I think Toby and Bobby are great. I think they have chemistry together. But the whole bit is Boban's hands, right? Mm-hmm. Like... And you don't get the payoff. You don't get to see the goldfish in the hand. So they kind of whiffed it, right? Like they step on the joke. I mean, we have a clear shot of Tobias's hand there.
Yep.
Lots of goldfish.
Yep.
And I did enjoy the ripping of the bag and because he's got big hands. But again, you're selling the hands. I want to see those hands. I want to see all those goldfish in the hands. and then it would have worked. And there is a 30-second version of the same commercial. I thought, oh, maybe they've maybe they show yeah. the hands there. Yeah. Maybe it just got cut for time. It's a 15-second spot. I mean, you don't have a lot of time. There is no shot of the hands. There is a cute little part at the end which actually saves it a little, where Tobias says, go get the vacuum, because he spilled all the... So that part of it was cute. But, you know, that's what my mother, if anything that I ever show her that I've produced, she'll just go, that's cute. And that's basically how I feel about this. So, you know, maybe that's my upbringing talking, but I think they really whiffed it on this one.
I agree wholeheartedly with I can't believe we're not seeing Boban's hand in this commercial. For the whole thing, the whole bit is, grab a handful or whatever the hell the hashtag was for goldfish crackers. Lee, where do you stand? Like, I'm thumbs up on those guys being in a commercial together because everybody does like them, but I don't think it's a great commercial.
Do you remember the HEB commercial when Kawhi Leonard was doing the laundry and he had that huge hand, or the huge pile of towels, and they were like, Kawhi, and he's like, what, I'm doing my laundry? That's what I would have done as well here with Boban, just had, like, you know, like his hands, and just have like a million goldfish coming out there, just to to emphasize again his hands are gigantic. So I was a little surprised. I was waiting for something more there. So and I'm actually glad to hear JD and your response as well, because I was like, I think I'm going to be that guy who's like, I don't really think this is a great commercial. But fortunately, there's a little bit of support out there. So I'm great. And the thing with goldfish is, before I had kids, didn't even know they existed. And now it's just like, I've eaten so many goldfish in the last 9 years. It's unbelievable.
They're so good.
they are delicious.
Goldfish are great, but... I mean, y'all nailed it. This is Chekhov's hands here. If you've got Boban's hands in a commercial and we see it for less than a split second, you're wasting Boban's hands here. Like, there should have been a shot of him. You know, Tobias grabs his. Oh, I got 73. We see it. And then Boban's like, okay. And then he just keeps pouring and pouring and pouring. Yeah. They're staring down each other. Then we open it. We look. It's a giant hand. It's barely full. The line is still the same. More than 73. Give us more hands. It's kind of like when we watch Semi-Pro. We want to see more puke out there on the court when Will Ferrell finally throws up. We want to see Boban's hands. They're the star of the show.
It occurred to me that, is it possible they only had one bag of goldfish and it ripped and then that was it? They kind of fell on the floor and it was just like, damn. Well, I guess we can't get that shot that we wanted.
Maybe. I mean, that's the thing. They could have gone the complete other way, too, and make it funny that Boban with his giant hands only eats, like, one goldfish at a time or something. Like, is very dainty with it. Mm. Like, you could also do that. But we want to see the hands is what we're getting here. Okay. Nice to see them back together. Hope we didn't upset too many people out there, because I'm sure people are loving it, that they're in it, and they are together. But
I feel like the Wizards of Karth right now. Can we see the hands? Might we see the hands, Boban?
All right, that's the up-down report. That was a bit of a weird one, wasn't it? That's okay.
Very weird.
Let's see your thumbs. Let's see. Make sure we see your thumbs in the comments, okay?
Don't hide them. Pause up.
Yeah, let's see them for sure in the YouTube comments. Okay, we got Tweet of the Night still. We got to restart a new whole pick'em. But first, quick break. Hear from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
What do you got, TK, for us?
Oh, it's me again, baby. Tweet of the Night comes to us from Dragonfly Jones, a must follow on Twitter. Simple tweet. Godzilla should have tried to hoop instead of killing all them people. He's tall as hell. Can't disagree. But my question for y'all, who wins in a one-on-one game? Godzilla or Kong?
Wow. Go ahead,
Tough
Lee.
Call.
I think Kong. I think he's a little more agile. I think that tail is going to slow down Godzilla a little bit. Now, maybe he uses it to advantage to sort of create some space. But I just think Kong's got the strength. He's got the balance. I think he does a bit of bar three. He's got that even spread. And and also, I think Kong can keep his emotions in check a little bit. I think Zilla is a little bit too emotional out there. He's got the sharp teeth. You know, you don't want to take a bite from him. But I just think what the Kong man can do is get behind him and get him into, like, submit.
Oh, God. God, how many nicknames are you going to drop on these guys?
That's what I just, yeah. Zilla is a killer, but you ain't going wrong with Kong.
Oh, God. Wow, he saved us. Was that our pick'em for tonight? Kong versus Godzilla. I like it.
I think Godzilla has home court advantage. Yeah. Minus 1.5 for Zilla.
Yeah. I am backing the Kong man, as we call him now, as well. You know, in a one-on-one battle, I think it's a tight game. You know, it's going to be rough. what the hell? How'd you do that? You just find that? Amazing. We're seeing a photo of Zilla backing up Kong man.
Yeah. I think this is poor strategy here by Godzilla. I wouldn't be trying to post up King Kong. It seems to me that the advantage that Zilla, his street ball name, Zilla would have, is he seems like he's more rangy, more of a stretch five, and I don't know what this just seems to be a bad use of resources here. Why are you trying to back down King Kong? The other thing I'm a little confused of, you know, I say that Godzilla is stretchier, the longer player out there, but it looks like King Kong has more wingspan. You know, very short arms on Godzilla. Kind of a Kevin Willis out there, a Kevin Zillis, if you will.
Yeah, the shooting, that's the thing. You think he might be a stretch five, but I don't think Zilla can shoot at all. Mm-mm. Because it's like, you know, shout out to my buddy Dan Tanner I went to school with. We called him, he had the dinosaur arms, short arms. And, you know, tough to get that ball up above his head. Easy to block. Kong's going to be all over him. So I'm taking Kong. In a one-on-one. Let's hear from you guys. Okay. Well, tonight's pick'em, as we started all over again, I got to pay off March. Don't you worry about that. We'll get to that. But we're starting to back up here for April. April 1st, and tonight's game, it's not Zilla versus Kong one-on-one. It is Denver versus the Clippers in L.A. Denver on the road, but favored by 1.5. Our pick'em here brought to you by BetMGM. Lee, why don't you go first? Who do you like in this one? Denver by 1.5, by 2 points or more? Or do you like the Clippers to either keep it close enough or get the W?
It's a tough one to start out the month, isn't it? It's a close one here. I'm not sure which way to go, but I think the Nuggets win this game. They only need to win by one field goal, so I'll take Denver to win by 2 points or more.
Okay, yeah. Nuggets are chasing the Clippers here in the standings. Trey, who do you like tonight?
Yeah, I am also going to be on the Nuggets on this one. They've just been playing really, really well. And like you're saying, they are trying to chase down the Clippers. So give me Denver.
I'm also going with you guys. I just think the Nuggets are playing really, really good basketball right now. I think they're going to keep it rolling here in LAC. You never know who the hell's going to play for LAC, too. It's a bit of a problem. Not that it matters sometimes because they keep getting dubs. But let's find out who Tass is taking.
I'll take the Nuggets here because it's a revenge game against the Clippers, who destroyed them the last time they played on Christmas Day. Denver.
Oh, Tass doing his homework there. He's got revenge in mind. Okay, everybody taking Denver. Nobody swerving. Good luck to the Nuggets. Got to win by two or more. Okay, we'll call it there. Wow, bit of a wild show. You know, things got better, Lee, once you restarted your computer or your Wi-Fi or whatever you ended up doing.
Yeah, I just want to apologize to everyone watching because I know how much it sucks when some one guy is just lagging. I'm probably lagging right now. Doing it again, but
it's not brutal.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. I'll try to be better tomorrow.
You know what's weird? It's like the first of the month is when you would think your Wi-Fi would be humming, right? Because as you know, sometimes you're on the month plan. Like I got the thing yesterday. You have reached 90% of your Xfinity, service. Like, you're getting close, but it's like, it's the final day. We're good. Like, we're just going to keep things streaming all day here. But the first of the month, you think, like, let's go. We're re-energized. But, you know, maybe it's an April Fool's joke from, I don't know, are you Xfinity, Comcrap? What are you?
I think we are. We've changed around. I think we're back to Xfinity now, I think. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Just work, internet. It's 2021. I mean, come on. You can't use
Why
the weather
don't you
excuse.
Hardwire,
Remember
man?
The weather what? Excuse we used to have back in the sort of early days of internet? Oh, it's raining, it's windy. Okay, fine, dial up. These days, it should be immaculate.
There should not be any interruptions, but there still are. It's not like I live out in the scrub either, you know? I'm right in the middle here.
No, if anything, you got all these holes in your roof. You should be getting better reception. As the beams just come straight through. Okay, email us your NBA questions for the next Beach Devin podcast, nodunks@theathletic.com. Like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. We'll be better tomorrow with our Wi-Fi service. You can guarantee that. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic already. TheAthletic.com/NoDunks or TheAthletic.com/NoDunksCanada if you're in Canada. $1 a month for new subscribers still. So go to those links so they know that we sent you. Later today, we should have a brand new batch of NBA whoopsies, so that's something to keep an eye on our No Dunks YouTube page. And later tonight, another NBA happy hour. Really going to put your Wi-Fi to the test tonight, Lely. You're having a friend come on, a pilot, to talk to us about planes. We're not going to go 3 hours with them, but 15, 20 minutes talking planes. Why not? Right?
You'll be surprised, you know. A pilot, he might be flying while he's doing it, so he might have 8 hours to kill. So, you know, maybe he's in the cockpit. We're not sure. But, yeah, looking forward to it. Brad's going to join us.
Okay, Brad. So we will be firing up the NBA Happy Hour live stream at halftime of what the heck is the game tonight? I think it's like Nets Hornets, I believe. Ooh. I think it's a weird one. Yeah, I think the Hornets are on TNT tonight. So that's when we'll be going live. Whatever the first game is on TNT, we're going live at halftime of that.
Charlotte, Brooklyn, 7:30, yes.
There you go. There you go. So we'll see you then if you want to join us live. Otherwise, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, this comes from Max on the stream team. Wake up, wake up, wake up, because your Wi-Fi is on. First of the month, best day for streaming.
Embrace the day, people.